League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Hi folks, welcome along to another episode of Soundtracking with me, Edith Bowman, and we're dropping by outside our usual time of a Monday to bring you an extra episode. That's because our latest guest on Soundtracking is the delightful Lee Isaac Chung, who joins us to discuss his magnificent summer blockbuster, Twisters. It's kind of a sequel to the 1996 film. It stars Daisy Edgar Jones as a former storm chaser drawn back to the wide open plains of Oklahoma as multiple weather systems dangerously converge. The cast on this is absolutely brilliant. And one of the things it does pull through from the original film is a piece of technology by the name of Dorothy. Those film fans of the first film will recognise what I'm talking about. Twisters is scored by Benjamin Wallfish, but also features plenty of great country music, including Stronger Than a Storm by Dylan Gossett.
Will you look just like an angel who walks on heaven's floors, and I hear your words deeper than I've ever heard before. Your green eyes calling me back home. You look just like an angel who walks on heaven's floors. Well, I swear you're in the sunrise, I swear you're in the moon, I seen a sky full of stars, and I swear you're in those two. Your sight to wonder, something I can't lose. I swear you're in the sunrise, I swear you're in the moon.
Lisa, congratulations. There's so much about it I absolutely loved. I loved your casting in this film.
Oh, that's great.
I loved the effects, which were so realistic that you really, you know, immersed in feeling fully in there. And
oh,
I loved
thank
the music.
You. Thank you, yeah.
Because there's lots going on there. There's simplicity with the lovely piano theme that kind of comes in and out
in
different parts of the film
for
Daisy's character. There's big score, like you need at certain times in a film like this. But then you have this real beautiful representation of country music and the area within that as well.
Yeah.
Do you mind talking a little bit about navigating that as well?
Yeah, we have a genius named Benjamin Wallfish on this film, who's our composer. And he really started with Kate's theme, that piano theme that comes in. He started with that as the basis for what he was going to compose. And there are echoes of Kate's theme that are almost an inverse within the tornado.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So what we're hearing with the tornado is almost an inverse of Kate. There's this duality between the two that he's working with. And a lot of those big movie sounds, he was really going for it with a choir, a chorus, and choral elements, and with brass. We were recording that on the Sony lot in L.A., and the sound that he was capturing in that space, in those sessions, it was incredible, and it was all because of that. I felt that brass does so much in this film. Mm. And he knew the fiddler and the banjo player who we brought in to also flesh out a lot of the score. And it's meant to feel like it's an adventure movie in which we are clearly set in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
It was a big challenge for that I was throwing his way by having so much country music within the soundtrack for him to come up with his compositions in relationship to that was really difficult, but he met that challenge in a way that I still am amazed by. So I knew I was giving him a hard task, but he met it.
Did a great job. Collaboration's
brilliant. He's incredible.
Because it's really clever, because
score is part of the storytelling, but also the needle drops that you've used lyrically, quite a lot of them are also informing us of situations and your choices, whether it's Kate or whether it's certain characters and their kind of personality come through, whether it's something they've got on the radio or they choose to listen to. It's all telling story.
Yeah, it's meant to. It's anytime I would land in Oklahoma City from LA, it would always feel for me like I'm getting back home because that's the region where I grew up. And I remember I would always click on Zach Bryan's song Oklahoma City, and that was always the soundtrack as I'm easing into the place.
Old friend, it's been a while. I ain't spoke to you in years. And oftentimes, boys from this town will pull wheels down and disappear. Miss Cole asked about you just 3 days back. I had no answer to give her. I told her that you moved way out west to write some songs and grow a little more bitter. Kids talk about you around here like you're some kind of legend. I wonder if they know a thousand sunrises ago you were eager just like me.
And I just kind of knew that this whole soundtrack needed to be country.
Yeah.
And I was excited to do that because I'm a big country fan. And we had an excuse where we could do that. And we haven't heard a lot of soundtracks of big action movies that are fully country.
Yeah.
So that was a neat opportunity.
Well, it's nice because it reminds us where we are as well, you know, through the music.
Yeah. And those songs also tell us about that process of where we are. Like those songs have so much pride in that place and what that place means on a natural level and also on the level of relationships and home. Yeah, so I just think country music is a really great type of music to talk about that experience.
I've been dreaming, I've been driving, trying to stay between the lines of who I am and who I used to be. I've been living, I've been losing, walking miles in different shoes and finding out I can't run from me. And if I ever get a little too far, I remember where I left my heart. Can't take the home out of Oklahoma. It's where my soul.
Of, you know, there, obviously this film has history. For you, in terms of deciding on what would be those moments that you wanted to put in a connective tissue between the previous, the original film and this, it's done so delicately, but so kind of like, I don't know, sort of, it makes you feel good watching the film. If you've seen the original film, you know, it's kind of, it's just those little moments, whether it's Dorothy or whether, you know, all those kind of things. Talk to me a little bit about making those choices and how much you would reference
all of that. Yeah, it kind of came out of my own nerdy fandom of that first film, really.
It's a total Spielberg thing, though, isn't it, in a way? Do you know what I mean? It's kind of that whole
even just the nod to
filmmaking.
Amblin films, like even that nod. Like speaking of Wallfish and the score, like when Kate and Javi are driving in reverse away from that giant tornado, we totally went, we said we're going to go all Amblin here with the sound and with the way the music is playing and also the way it ties to the image.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that was just coming from my joy of those movies. And that's kind of what I wanted to react to and do and not just do it in an intellectual, lip service sort of way, but to really let it be arising out of what I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, about those movies.
What are your memories, you know, talking about growing up in this area, what are your memories about this world, about that kind of terrifying possibility of what Mother Nature can throw at people and throw at communities?
In the beginning, when we first moved to the farm in Arkansas, I was 5 years old. I keep saying four or five because I got to go you back and look at my notes someday because I can't remember. But when we first moved to there, I remember first I was very scared because our first experience with a tornado coming in the area, we were having to run from it.
Oh, wow.
And we, as a family, I could tell that my parents had never gone through anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, and they were recent immigrants from Korea as well. And there aren't really tornadoes in Korea. They don't know what to do in that situation. So it was all part of that strangeness of being in a new place and dealing with Mother Nature that's also trying to do stuff to us. And then eventually what happened living in the countryside was that my experience with all of it turned to more reverence and awe of nature and a deep love for it. I grew up in the woods. I grew up fishing all the time. I grew up being on my own outside. And I would just stand out there as storm clouds would come in. So I think a lot of people in that area have that sort of sense.
Yeah.
Eventually, you're not really scared of the tornadoes. Yeah. You know what you're supposed to do and you have a respect for it, but you also feel this deep sense of awe for it. So I have a lot of affection for that original Twister because it captures those emotions. And I felt like with this one, we could really lean into that sort of reverence for Mother Nature.
Yeah, you've really poured that emotion into particularly Kate's, you know, character. Both of them, actually, really, you know, in terms of how they feel about this.
Yeah, I wanted that commonality between all of them, that they all share that.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that keeps them. It's an interesting part of their romance, too. I feel that it's a shared interest in something that's much bigger than them. And I found that to be kind of a nice romantic quality to their relationship.
Yeah, and I love that kind of whole kind of, you know, the idea of all this kind of community here all chasing those tornadoes and how crazy it is to think they just jump in their cars with their rain macks on and head into with their I love tofu stickers and stuff. That really made me laugh.
A lot of those people were actual storm chasers who we brought
in.
Yeah, I think all of those in the gas station scenes, those are all storm chasers. So many of them would tell us, please, just know that if the weather is bad, we're not here because we're going to go chase a tornado. So we were always hoping that on those days the weather was going to be good because they were not going to be showing up to set.
You did have a couple of dodgy moments, though, I believe, as well, in terms of there being really quite
terrifying. Yeah, we totally did. We started filming in May, so that's during tornado season. The first day Anthony Ramos arrived, he and I were reading the script and we were getting alerts on our phone, shelter in place. And I was telling Tony, hey, welcome to Oklahoma. And there was this big EF3 tornado that hit Cole, or Oklahoma, just south of us in Oklahoma City. So that was just a constant thing that we were dealing with.
Yeah.
A lot of storms coming through and then lightning and
get the cameras out, film.
It's funny, I hate to say it, but I would often be saying, this is such a waste, it looks so perfect, but we'd have to shelter and we'd have to shut down because it for safety reasons. But it would be a cruel irony that outside everything looks perfect and would be beautiful to capture, but of course we had to be very safe.
It's so beautifully poetic, some of those scenes where you see, you know, the weather change and you get hypnotized by it in a way. You know,
it's very hypnotizing.
Got such a kind of incredibly kind of powerful but beautiful presence, I guess, as well. In terms of creating that, to make it feel and look real, an extraordinary job with
your
designers and special effects and things like that to create that.
Thanks so much. It really starts first with an affection for what is happening.
Yeah.
That everybody was in awe of nature. And we had a real storm chaser going out and getting footage for us. And every day when we were watching our dailies, we would watch the footage that this gentleman captured for us.
Wow.
And it would be, just as you said, hypnotizing.
Yeah.
Our VFX supervisor, Ben Snow, and I, we actually went out and chased with a scientist. And we got to experience not just seeing a funnel dropping and all these different things that are wild. We also got to feel what that's like on our skin and to be out there. So we knew we had to capture that sense of poetry with it. So we would always talk more about the artistic process in what we were doing with the VFX, special effects, the practical stuff of blowing debris and all this stuff, the leaves that are falling on people in the rodeo, all these tactile things. We were often talking about that on an artistic level. And then we would talk about the technical level of how do we actually execute that. We know what we want it to feel like and look like.
Yeah.
Now let's figure out how to execute that.
And I guess part of that conversation as well is with experts, so that it has that, it's steeped in truth and authenticity of what the real thing feels, looks, sounds like.
Yeah, that, like the leaves falling, that came straight from Kevin Kelleher, who, he's retired, but he was previously with the National Weather Service, and NOAA, he was one of the directors. I asked him what the weirdest thing he's ever experienced in a tornado was, and he told me that once he was chasing a tornado, he got to a place, and all of a sudden, leaves just started to fall out of nowhere, and the air was very still, but just these leaves were falling. And I thought that felt very mystical and interesting, and we put that into the movie. So there are many moments like that where we would start with what we would hear about experiences that people had, and then we put that into the film.
And then you kind of, you know, kind of going away going, so would that work?
Yeah.
You know, in terms of kind of what the attempt to do and what it achieves sort of thing, it's kind of, is that steeped in, you know, diving into meteorologists and what the kind of science is and the research?
Yeah, it was kind of fun in that way, that we'd start with some anecdotes like the leaves, and then I would throw that question over to our special effects guy, Scott Fisher. I'd say, can you make it rain leaves in this place? And he'd have a lot of fun in figuring out, how do we do that? And then he'd come with a plan with how we might execute that sort of thing. But we also relied a lot on people on the ground who were not just scientists, but just had different stories to tell. On a day that we were doing some location scouting, our driver was helping us go to different movie theaters. And there's this big sequence that happens in a movie theater where people are sheltering during a tornado. And he very quietly said to me, you know, it happened to me. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, I was in a movie theater and a tornado came. And and then I just, on the drive, I kept asking him 1,000 questions. Like, what was that like? What did you feel? What did you hear? And all of those things he was saying, all of us are just writing notes down and figuring out, how do we put that into the movie? You know, how do we make the audience feel that change of pressure that he felt in his ears?
And,
The sound that he was hearing of a train, you know, how do we do that?
Wow.
So, yeah, I think for him, one specific detail was that he walked out of the theater to see what was going on. He saw above ground swimming pool. I don't know if you have these here, but this big swimming pool, and was sailing overhead. And then he said he decided he's going to go back into the theater. Yeah, so yeah, just one of the strange details and absurdities that you could only know by talking to people on the ground.
Yeah, we've been through it.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And before we run out of time, I'd be remiss to get the chance just to mention Minari as well, which I just adored and had the pleasure of chatting to Emil as well about writing the score.
Oh, you chatted to Emil about that. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, I mean, just love the music for that film and the film as well.
Thank you. Emil is a genius, by the way.
Yeah. I saw his old band play years ago.
The Dig?
Yeah.
In
the States. And it was like, I hadn't put two and two together till we sat down to chat. And it was like,
oh, that's so
mind
great.
Blown. It's crazy. But it was really obvious from, you know, from that, how important music is to you in your storytelling, and getting it just right and tonally to the story, the characters, the location as well. And it was just a beautiful collaboration on that film.
Oh, thank you. It means, music means so much to me. And Emil would send me sketches before I was filming on that movie. And that helped me figure out what I'm going to do on the day, how I'm going to film stuff, because he would show me the music and then let me listen to the music and then I would know visually what I want to see to that music. So I love that process when it's not just having a composer react to what I'm doing, but I feel like I want to react to what this brilliant genius composer is doing as well.
Yeah. when we started, you were talking about kind of being a fan of those kind of, you know, those Amblin films as well. And I wondered if, for you, if there's a soundtrack from a film that you go back to.
I have so many of those that I will go back and listen to. And I'm very bad with composer names.
The film will do. Yeah, it's a specific film that...
Edward Scissorhands has such an
Danny
incredible
Elfman.
Score. Yeah, Elfman, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Elfman's score is so incredible for me. Recent ones that I really love. I love the one from Eternal Sunshine. That one I listen to a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Punch Drunk Love.
Oh, yeah. Paul Thomas Anderson. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. His films, he ends up getting some incredible scores, like The Phantom Thread. I think I listened to that.
With Johnny Greenwood. Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of my Spotify year, that one, I remember that was
your
like
most
number
listened
one.
To.
Yeah. That score is gorgeous.
I think there's something in that, same with Emile, you know, that idea of musicians who have been part of bands who then come into the world of filmmaking to write scores. It's a really interesting connection, I think, that they have with storytelling from coming from that world.
Emile wears his heart on his sleeve, and that really seeps through in his music. Do you know that his music went viral a bit on TikTok?
No.
I don't know if...
Recently?
Recently, yeah. So that Minetti score... A lot of it's being used by a lot of TikTok creators.
Great!
Yeah, it's really great.
Emile, and they're watching the film as well again, I hope.
People are playing that soundtrack or that song to videos that they want to cry to, in a way. There's kind of this thing. It's an interesting dive into what people are doing with music, with his music.
Yeah.
I was just so happy for him that he's getting notice for, you know, how mysterious what he's doing is. That music can be used in so many different ways and repurposed and be a soundtrack to people's lives.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm looking forward to what's next from you as well. And been an absolute joy to get the chance to watch your film today. It really, really has. And great
chatting
to you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so
much. This is really great.
Yeah, lovely chatting to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
From the score to Minari, that's Oklahoma City by the wonderful Emil Mosseri, rounding off this latest episode of Soundtrackin' with Lee Isaac Chung.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
My huge thanks to Lee for taking the time to talk to us. Twisters is on general release now and has to be seen on the big screen to get the full force on the effects, the score and the sound design. For me, it's everything that a summer blockbuster is about. Daisy Edgar-Jones, Glenn Powell are fantastic together in this film. Great chemistry. If you want to hear my conversations with Benjamin Wallfish or Emil, you can head to edithbowman.com or wherever you get your pods. And please do leave us a rating and review if you haven't done so already. It would mean the world to us. Follow us on socials. We're at Soundtrackin' UK and we would love for you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is called Soundtrackin' Extra and has loads of extra content up there. Next up, we're really excited to share a conversation about a wonderful film that is available now on Apple TV. It's called Fancy Dance and it's been directed by Erica Tremblay. Erica joins me on next week's episode, which will come on Monday, talking about Fancy Dance. I very much look forward to the pleasure of your company then.
Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.